Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films, The Tinder Swindler, Here Before, and Ted K. I am agog to hear about The Tinder Swindler. In fact, I would have named it myself.
Well, Jill, this is definitely about a swindler, and it has to do with Tinder, namely the dating app. And this is a new documentary, which is a streaming, and anybody can see it who wants to subscribe to Netflix. And I found it quite the involving movie. It's one of these documentaries that plays more or less as dramatically as a good dramatic film. And it's really involving. And of course, it gets an extra little edge from the fact that it's pretty much based on real life. I must say that the alleged swindler of the title is now going around and saying to the media that he's not a swindler at all, that he never, did all these awful things the movie accuses him of. So we'll see about that. Or maybe we won't see about that. Maybe it will always remain a bit mysterious to those of us outside that particular loop. But the movie at least makes a pretty compelling case against the guy, and it's quite an interesting situation. So anyway, The Tinder Swindler is about a guy, never mind his real name, through most of this movie he's going by the name Simon Leviev, and he, or I guess it's pronounced Levive, and he uses the dating app Tinder to set up a false identity for himself. That is, the false identity is Simon Levive, and he claims to be the son of an Israeli diamond tycoon, and he claims to be a billionaire and the son of a billionaire, and he's just loaded with money, and he's always jet-setting around the world, and oh, this guy lives such a lavish lifestyle. My gosh, he is constantly going all over the place in fabulous private planes and fabulous private cars and doing this and the other thing. And anyway, the movie focuses on a couple of women who it turned out that he apparently was totally conning. And what he does is, and there's a couple of different women involved in this movie who are his victims, but one of them is sort of the main one. And what he does is he basically says, oh my gosh, I'm in temporary straits. I really need some cash right now. You got to send me some money right away because I need it, and I'll pay you back really, really soon. Don't worry about a thing. Well, by this time, he has gotten the woman so firmly into his web, she has totally fallen in love with him. He has just dazzled her with his fabulous lifestyle and taken her on trips and put her up in the world's most luxurious hotels and all this sort of thing. And so she is really in love with the guy, and she thinks this is going to be the love of her life. She's going to spend the rest of her life living in luxury hotels and jetting around the world in his private planes. And now he just needs a little bit of money right now, maybe $100,000 or something like that to get him through a temporary rough patch. And so she supplies the money. And then the next thing you know, there's another demand and another demand and another demand. And then start coming things like photographs sent over the web of, oh my gosh, my bodyguard was just attacked. And here he is with a wound on his head and I'm in terrible danger. And you just got to send me a little bit more money. So anyway, that's what the movie is about. It's about these women being conned by this guy, apparently conned, and he dazzles them with the idea of a fabulous present full of luxury and riches, and promises that their whole future will be nothing but the same sorts of luxury and riches. And then the next thing you know, he needs a little money and then a little more money. And apparently, the total amount of money that this guy conned out of women was something, well, let's just say many millions of dollars. It all starts with smaller amounts, and then it escalates to larger amounts. And anyway, so there we have it. One of the women in the movie gave nearly $300,000 to this guy as little loans. So one of the things that's being discussed about this movie now and the discourse about it on the web is, were these women just victims to their own greed? They fell in love with this guy. They were dazzled by this guy, partly because of all the money that he seemed to have. And then when it turned out that they were being conned out of money, wasn't there sort of their own fault? Well, this is the kind of thing that one does start thinking about during the movie. my own feeling when we get to the end of the film, and I won't say how it comes out, but my own feeling was that these women really were conned in a horrible scheme, a very clever scheme. It was all sort of a Ponzi scheme, where the money he was getting from one woman would be paying for all the things that he was doing for his next victim, and then he would be getting money out of her to pay for the next victim. Anyway, it's a horrible situation. I feel really, really sorry for the women. I feel really, really hostile toward this guy. And I found the movie, as I said at the beginning, just as dramatic as any dramatic movie that you might see. And again, the fact that it all is at least more or less real gives it all the more of an edge. So I recommend The Tinder Swindler if you want to see a good, absorbing documentary about the kind of thing that I hope I never get caught up in. I hope none of our listeners ever get caught up in. But hey, I guess danger always lurks. Our next couple of movies are very, very different. They are fiction films, although one of them is based on reality. But first of all, Here Before. This is a British film directed and written by Stacey Gregg, and it's a psychological drama. It reminded me a lot of a movie that came out many years ago called Birth, which I really liked a lot. And this movie has certain similarities, although it's very different in a lot of ways. And it's about people who live in a nice little area, sort of in the suburbs. And we have a family moves in, and there's another family who lives next door. And the new family sort of befriends the little girl of the family next door, particularly the woman of the new family. Her name is Laura, and she is played beautifully by Andrea Riseborough. She really, really gets enamored of the little girl who lives next door. Her name is Megan. She's a little girl. And as the relationship between Laura, the new neighbor, and Megan, little girl, becomes closer, Laura starts to suspect, for various reasons, that Megan may be the reincarnation of her own daughter who had died a few years earlier as a little girl. And so that's what the movie is about. It is about the question that grows in the mind of the audience. Is it possible that little Megan really is the reincarnation of Laura's deceased little girl? Or is it possible that this is all a great sort of hallucination or delusion on Laura's part? Or is something else maybe going on here as well? And that's really what the movie is about. It's a very simple movie. It's a very quiet movie. It develops in very quiet ways. It has a long buildup. It's quite a while, really, before any shoe drops at all. We begin to realize exactly where the movie is going. But once it starts going there, it becomes really quite absorbing. And again, the movie is told just with enormous restraint. In a way, it's a ghost story. It's a suspense story. It's a story about perhaps psychological delusion. But it's told, again, with such restraint that you really have to sort of settle back and let it sink in on you. And I think it does that very effectively. It's a really good movie. Not one of the great movies of the year so far, but a very, very good movie. And it's beautifully acted by a cast of very, very talented people. And it has very nice, realistic settings. There's a playground, there's a backyard, there are suburban homes, and they all feel and look and seem very real. So I really had a good time watching Here Before. Again, it's very quiet. You have to sort of let it sink in on you, give it time to operate. But once it does that, it's a very, very nice movie, a very good movie, and I found it very effective. My favorite of the three movies that I'm talking about today, Jill, is the third one, Ted K. And oh, this is a very dark movie. Here Before has many dark aspects to it. It's about a little girl who died a while back and another little girl who might possibly be reincarnation. And this is sad stuff in a lot of ways. But Ted K is really dark. And you will know why when I now reveal that it is based on the life of Theodore Kaczynski, better known as the Unabomber. And he, of course, he was at one point an extremely famous figure in the news and everywhere else. He was a very, very bad person. It turned out a very crazy person who was sending bombs to people, which took about three lives and injured a whole lot more people. But he was sending his bombs for a reason. He was not a totally random Unabomber. He was completely against modern technology. He felt that modern technology was destroying the world that he lived in and that he believed in and that he profoundly loved. And so his insane way, his psychotic way of getting back at modern technology was by sending bombs, by killing or severely injuring people who he felt were responsible for all this. And this included people in technological corporations, people involved with airlines and so forth. He would send these things out. Sometimes their connection to what really bothered him was kind of distant, but he felt that they were responsible for what was destroying his life. And that is what Ted Kaye is about. The title character is Theodore Kaczynski, the Unabomber. Now, this movie deals with a long period of his life when he lived in Montana, way out in the woods. He and his brother built a cabin for him to live in, and it was totally true to his lack of faith in modern technology. In fact, his hatred of modern technology. There was no plumbing. There was no electricity. There wasn't much of anything. He really, really lived in the wild in this little cabin. And that's what the movie deals with. It starts out with a text that tells us about how brilliant he was, going to Harvard as a teenager, getting a PhD in mathematics, teaching for a very, very brief spell, but then deciding that he had to get away from all of civilization and going out and living in the wild, as he did for many, many years, and that's where his full psychosis blossomed, and he started building his bombs, testing his bombs out in the wilderness, and mailing off his bombs to these various people. And then the very, very end of the movie catches us up to, I wouldn't say it comes out, but it's common knowledge, but it tells where this all ended up for him. But the whole bulk of the movie, which is about 2 hours long, and it's a very, very fine film, I want to emphasize that, deals with his time out in the wilds of Montana, building his bombs, testing his bombs, mailing his bombs, and so forth. Now, one of the things that fascinated me about Ted Kaye is that it struck me that he wasn't entirely true to his philosophy. I mean, right, he doesn't drive around in cars, but he has a bicycle. I mean, the bicycle was certainly made by a modern bicycle plant, and when he needs to. He'll certainly accept a ride from somebody who's got a car. Sometimes he has to go to distant cities to mail a bomb so they won't be able to trace it back to his little town in Montana. Then he'll travel by bus and he doesn't have a telephone, of course. He's got no electricity, no plumbing, but he's perfectly willing to go and use a payphone in town to call up his mother, for example, to plead for money, or to call up his brother to plead for money. So he's not 1,000% true to his philosophy of being against all technology. He doesn't live purely out in the wilderness. Also, by the way, he has a gun, which he uses to hunt and all of that. When we see him fishing at one point, I mean, the guy's got to feed himself. His fishing pole is basically a pole, obviously something that he managed to get out in the woods, but he's got like a regular reel attached to it with fishing line. So the point is, he's not 100% true to his aversion to all modern technology. He uses manufactured products of various kinds. But mainly he is true to it, and he really does live out there, and he really does, he really does live largely true to his philosophy, but mainly he lives true to his psychosis and to his murderousness. And that is what the movie always lets us start get a very good sense of along the way. Ted Kaye was directed by a filmmaker who has not made many other films named Tony Stone, who also co-wrote it, and is obviously a really, really gifted filmmaker. And Theodore Kaczynski is played by an actor who has had a lot of roles but is not well known, named Charlto Copley. And a very, very, very fine performance that he gives in this movie. All the secondary roles are marvelously well played too, but it's really Theodore Kaczynski's movie, Charlto Copley's movie, and it's an excellent, excellent performance. But mainly, the movie is just so well filmed. Machines, the kind of machines you encounter out in the woods, the logging machines and so forth, which Kaczynski, of course, hates and despises, and sometimes he attacks those. They're filmed as if they were the monsters that he perceives them as being. In a way, this is a horror film where Kaczynski is one of the monsters, but all those machines out in the woods destroying his beloved nature are also the monsters of the movie. And the movie is filmed just really effectively. It really gets that across. The music of the film, a lot of classical music, some pop music, beautifully chosen. Every scene is just accompanied by a different kind of music, which seems exactly right for this exact moment. So it's a marvelously artfully, artistically made film, which I really, really respect just as an act of cinematic craft. But mainly, it gives a really strong sense of Kaczynski's life, Kaczynski's murderous career, what a kind of a monster he was, and yet he was really controlled by his own psychosis. And again, it gives you just a very strong sense of that. So as I said before, it's a dark movie. It's not a movie to look at for a good time, but I found it a really effectively made movie, a very fascinating movie in every respect, psychologically and artistically. So I recommend Ted Kaye for people who can handle that very dark story, or for people who remember the career of the Unabomber when it was really happening just a few decades ago. It's just a movie sort of not to be missed. I found it one of the best movies of this year so far. And that is my pretty varied but mostly favorable story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, as always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films, The Tinder Swindler, Here Before, and Ted Kaye.